Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan shot today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz joining us every Thursday at 4 o'clock to talk about the Eagles in the NFL and only the Eagles in the NFL, nothing else, not any other sports or any other teams. That is Mike Lombardi of the VSiN Morning Show, Daily Coach, the GM Shuffle. Mike, how are we feeling?
We're good. No, we won't bring up the elephant in the room. Why would we?
Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
No, there's nothing to say. They say it all.
No, go ahead. This is the opportunity. I'm doing it even at the beginning of the call, not even just like shoehorning it at the end of the call.
I thought the one paragraph in Shams' report was the most telling, and I think it's been my indictment since Josh Harris has owned the team, is there's been no real accountability. There's been no demanding. There's been nothing but, you know, the players' load management. We're not going to do this. We're going to tank for losing. There's been no work ethic. There's been nothing that's been instilled in that organization. It's really been my biggest complaint since, you know, they took over and they started this whole process notion. And it comes without competitive nature within the framework of the organization. And I thought that paragraph about Nick Nurse, the player saying they wanted to be coached harder, Nick Nurse is saying he wants them to practice harder. I think that is exactly what's wrong with the franchise. That's what will stay wrong with the franchise. And it will continue long after, as long as Harris has this belief that this is how he needs to run his team.
So the thing I would disagree there is I don't think there are a lot of teams who have done what the Sixers did and become successful. Like, I think here's what I agree with you on. I think that they have let Joel Embiid specifically and Ben Simmons until the very end do whatever they wanted to do because they're superstars, which happens a lot. But if the superstar doesn't have the right makeup, this is what happens. And I agree with you that those particular players, they have not held them accountable enough. However, what I would say, though, is in the beginning of this, the first few years of this where you didn't like it at all, those teams did play hard. Like those teams under Brett Brown did. So I don't necessarily agree
They were happy to lose, and there's a losing.
Well, the players weren't happy to lose. Hold on one second. The players and the coach weren't happy to lose.
Well, I thought Brett did a really good job.
Right.
I thought Brett tried to develop players. I was fully on board with Brett. I think Brett did as good a job as he could do under the circumstances. I don't think Henke did him very much favor in terms of his ability. Remember, it takes talent to evaluate talent. And you can't tell me he was picking a great players with all the assets he was coming. But structurally, organizationally, and you're right, they've entitled both all their players. And it's impossible to get it back. Once you allow it to happen, you can't reel it back in. And, you know, this report that came out that Embiid's late, this is not news. This is not news. I mean, this has been going on for some time. This just didn't happen this week.
I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. I think in the NBA is a little more complicated than you're making it out to be. You brought up Pat Riley.
No, championship teams aren't complicated. Oh, but championship teams understand how to practice. They understand how to play. you and I had an argument earlier, not an argument, a discussion.
Yes.
And my whole thing, and you said that I'm a hater. I'm not. I know what it takes to be a champion. And they have nothing of the qualities to be a champion. I'm not a hater. I'm a realist. I see it. So this doesn't come to me as something that I didn't expect. I've fully expected it. You signed Paul George, who's 34 years old, who's coming off a career injury profile. You give an extension to a guy with a bad knee, and you now next summer will be the time when they trade him away. So to me, this has just been an ongoing what I've seen happen. But at the root of the cause, and this is really what I think this is their inability to build a championship-level organization that's built on hard work, that's built on commitment to excellence, that's built on being your best player, being your best leader.
Okay, but my counter to that would be that the teams who are doing that from the beginning, and you brought up Miami in that debate. Miami,
yeah, and you know they went to the finals 2 years ago. You just dismissed that.
No, but also
Embiid hasn't gone to the finals ever. But you just dismissed Miami going to the finals
well,
2 years ago.
But they're an eight seed every year. Miami does not have the talent to win a championship. Miami has trouble holding on to talented players. They couldn't hold on to LeBron. They're not going to hold on to Jimmy Butler. You look at their roster. So the problem is that when you in the NBA, because I think you're making it about the Sixers, but I think it's a little bit bigger than that. In the NBA, it is difficult to build the talent that you need doing it the way that you're saying you should do it. And that is the challenge. The challenge is that the culture in the NBA is, if I don't like it here, I'm going to leave. And because it is so talent dependent, because one player can literally change, because you need one of the six best players, seven best players in the league, because you need that. And because without that, you're screwed. Like your point about Paul George is salient, is right. Your point about Joel Embiid keeping him is right. What you don't offer is, well, here's what I would have done. Because there wasn't a move to do to put you in position to do that. So I think it is less in that respect about the Sixers and more about the sort of the game that you have to play, the grab bag that you have to play in the NBA to make it happen.
Yeah, well, I completely disagree. I think when you have a great player that works hard, LeBron, you can say whatever you want about LeBron. LeBron's going to show up. You can say whatever you want about Tatum. They show up. They work. They're in condition. You know, and Jaylen Brown, that team up there, they work. They understand. They have camaraderie. I think we all saw Brad Stevens say he wants players who are self-aware. He has that. I think, to me, you're just putting it under the umbrella of the NBA. When we're seeing Boston win title, Warriors have gotten it back. Poor Buddy Hield, he couldn't play here in Philadelphia because it's impossible to play with the guy. Now he's going out to Golden State, and all of a sudden he's back to being a good player again. Wonder why that happened.
Well, but it's not impossible. J.J. Redick had the best years of his career here. Seth Curry had the best years of his career here. Maxey is undoubtedly better here. So you can pick out those examples, and then the LeBron that you're talking about left Miami because of the way that they were, which is the challenge. Now, Miami can say, okay, LeBron, you don't want to play our game, go ahead, but they've basically been in purgatory ever since.
If you call purgatory going to the finals,
they're 500 every year, Mike. They had a run to the finals.
They had two runs to the finals.
Further than the 76ers have ever gotten. They've gotten further than this, and you dismiss them as they're a rank and file. They've gotten further than the Sixers, and you're promoting them as they're doing everything fine.
No, I'm just telling you. I'm telling you that it is more complicated than you're making it.
They were the eighth seed, one of the fewest teams. They go and beat Milwaukee in the first round.
They beat Milwaukee in the first round without their best player.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, yes, it does, Mike. It matters if Giannis Antetokounmpo wasn't on the Bucks. Of course it matters.
If they're not at the game, it doesn't matter. Look, the Sixers have had opportunities.
Okay.
I mean, they've had opportunities. They just can't. They have no mental toughness.
I agree with that, but I don't agree.
Figure that out. You're never going to win a title.
It's very easy to say this team's not going to win. That's all. You could do it across the league.
I said it before it started.
I know, but you were a hater. You were a hater because they started. You are.
I hate what they stand for.
Again.
What they stand
but the
for.
Guy that they started with was gone after 2 years, and they replaced him with a guy that I bet you endorsed in Brian Colangelo.
I did not endorse. I don't like him either, but I didn't like that other guy. I mean, that other guy you're talking about a guy that doesn't recognize talent. mean, you're talking about, oh, we're going to pick for the future. Okay, well, you should have picked Giannis. I mean, look at his draft, Spike. You can't defend Hanky at all.
I can.
He wasn't a good draft.
He wasn't perfect. Yes, you're right. But he also left them with so much stuff that the disaster of Brian Colangelo, the disaster of the in-between, all of those disasters left them with enough stuff to still work with. So what? He wasn't a great drafter, absolutely. But not every GM is great at everything.
But when you have all those assets like Presti has, you got to hit with them.
Well, yes, but he never had the opportunity to. He got fired after 2 years. He got fired after 2 years, Mike.
He had Okafor, he left that. It was a nice package. Michael Carter Williams was a nice package. He left. Nolan's Noel, you traded a guy who's still playing up in Boston for Nolan's Noel. You think that was a good package? I mean, come on. He left his trail. You know, I mean, come on. It was. I think the best thing he did was hire Brett Brown. He really did, because Brett Brown coached and tried to develop the talent in an impossible situation.
He left them with what would be a number three pick, which they traded another top five pick to get number one, which ended up Markelle Fultz. Disaster. Post Hinkie. He left them with another pick that would be number one, which ended up being a disaster. Ben Simmons. After he left, he left them with two number one picks in 3 years that they blew.
He picked Ben Simmons.
No, he didn't. Brian Colangelo picked Ben Simmons. I promise you, Brian Colangelo picked Ben Simmons.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can we talk about the Eagles now?
Well, yeah, let's do it.
I just want to get to it, you know. You know I love you, right?
Well, I'm great with it. I'm sitting here watching it. You can defend it all you want.
I'm not defending it. I'm just being...
Here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a disaster. Do you think Nurse survives?
No.
Do you think Maury survives?
Yes.
How could he survive when he put this together?
Well, because when you look at what he inherited a deficit of draft picks and $110 million a year invested in Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Al Horford, who played the same position as their best player. So it's not, he did not inherit.
But the guy that did all that is still on the staff there.
What's that?
Elton's still there.
Well, that is a more complicated situation, but I can tell you that right now, Elton is not making final decisions with the basketball team. And I think Elton has his strengths, and Elton was probably put in a position to fail. But again,
the whole organization's a failure. From the top to the bottom.
All right.
It's built. That's my whole point. The whole organization is built on analytics and rest. And not competitive stamina. That's what it's built for.
Well, if you have a problem with analytics, I do not.
I don't have a problem with analytics. I really don't.
Well, you bring them up a lot,
the guy
Mike.
In his basement saying we shouldn't play back-to-backs. I have a problem with a guy saying let's take the day off of practice. I have a problem with a guy saying we shouldn't work hard.
See,
I
mean, say you don't have a problem with analytics, and then you talk about Eagles, a guy in their basement. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not being straight. You're not being straight.
Why did the Eagles last year? They had to change their whole person. They changed their whole peak performance development. They had to because they got out of shape.
Okay, and in their investment in analytics, they've won a Super Bowl and been to another, and now they're 8-2.
Right, but their investment in analytics applies to what they do. It doesn't run it. They ran it last year,
right?
And they got out of shape.
Okay,
it was horrible.
All right, but now they corrected it with the same analytics people there.
No, they brought in different people. They brought Peter DeLuca back. They brought the old train. They brought the old guy back.
And they're not using analytics at all now, I assume.
I didn't say that. I didn't say, and I'm not against it.
You are.
I'm not against it. No, I am. I'm against somebody who's not running the team or watching the team on a weekly basis telling you we should take the day off. That's what I'm against. I'm against people that we have to, to be good at anything, you got to practice. To be good at anything, you got to work hard. I think the Eagles are working hard. I think they're really good. I think Jalen Carter's remarkable. He's playing almost every single play. He's in shape. He looks like a dominant player that they drafted. The job of every organization is to make the player better than you have before you get him. It's not to just say rest.
So this matchup Sunday night, right? We're looking at this Rams-Eagles matchup, Mike. How do you think this plays out? I can't even get in depth with this because I don't know if Mike wants to talk football. I don't know what the hell going
on. Look, here's the thing.
Yeah, talk to me about Sunday night.
Here's the thing. The Rams' offensive line has really improved, right? Mm-hmm. Last week they went into New England. They blocked a good front of New England, and the two receivers made plays for them. That's the key to their team, right? They ran the football. With Sean McVay, he's got to run the ball. He can't be a 45-pass guy.
Okay.
He needs balance. He wants to run play action. He's got a lot of motion. He brings people into the formation. It's a tough challenge for Philly. They're going to have to prove they can cover on the outside.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of things to mess around with the defense and break tendencies. So I think that's going to be a real good area. The Rams have got to hold up in the run game. I mean, that's going to be the key. Can they hold up? And can they cover? I mean, last week they struggled to cover New England. New England moved the ball up and down the field. Now they ran out of gas. They made too many mistakes, which is most what happens to young teams. I think it's a really good game. But look, the Rams are 5-5. This is probably the best they're going to be all year in terms they've played 10 games. And they're finally really 100% healthy in the areas they need to be, which is the offensive and the defensive line. So It'll be a huge challenge. And I think, to me, the key is going to be, can Philly continue to make those big plays down the field in their passing game, and can they keep getting Barkley the ball? I think that's going to be the key. They're going to give up some points. They're not going to play as well defensively against a good Ram offense because Stafford is really good.
Yeah.
Mike Lombardi with us. Mike, I actually want to ask about a health thing. At what point, I guess from an organizational perspective, we have talked a lot about Saquon Barkley, number of touches. Okay, 400. He's going to have 400 touches, it looks like, this year. And knowing that that is a bad number for running backs, especially the running back that has ended up being your most important player on offense, at what point does an organization decide, well, here we are, we're in this situation where we don't give him the ball enough, we're not going to win games, but if we do, we really risk losing him being effective for next year. Like, what is the decision making in that, if you're running the team in that specific scenario, you know, with this year and next year for Saquon?
Well, I think if you go into next year, you know, you need two backs in the league. You need what Detroit has, Montgomery and Gibbs, right? You need two. Well, unfortunately, they just have one this year. But he's so much a part of what they need to be able to do and control the game. I mean, last week, again, they outran. I mean, this is 2 weeks in a row against Dallas. Actually, it's really 3 weeks in a row. Against Jacksonville, Dallas, and Washington, they've gained more yards on the ground than they did in the air. I mean, that's just a fact. And so they got to have to go with their bread and butter of what leads them there. And I think ultimately that's going to be the key. And, you know, look, if you can try to get him in more space plays in terms of outside, his ability to play in the passing game is critical. But I think next year they're going to have to get another back to go with them. Look, Derrick Henry's the only guy that I've been a part of that carries it 300 times and then the next year doesn't look like he's missed a beat. Usually there's a complete decline. If you look at Emmitt Smith's career after he's had so many carries and they were only playing 14 games at that time and he went downhill after too many years of taking a pounding, it happens to back. The life expectancies of back are short. That's why people don't want to invest in it. But the reality of it is you're going to have to ride this guy because he is their offense. I mean, he is the key to what they do. If they have to get into a drop-back pass game and they can't run the football effectively, then it becomes a real issue because now all of a sudden people start blitzing Hurts. It won't be the same. But this is the number one team in rushing attempts. They're the number one team in touchdowns rushing. They're the number one team in yards gained on the ground. And most importantly, they're the third best team in the National Football League in yards per attempt, which is the most critical number of all those numbers I just read out.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike.
You would never believe that a Jeffrey Lurie-owned team. Think about this now.
Yes.
Jeffrey Lurie, and I agree with him, you have to throw the ball to get the lead. You have to run the ball to keep the lead, right? Jeffrey Lurie's team is 32nd in passing attempts this year. 32nd in passing attempts. They're the last team in terms of how many times they throw the ball per game. And they're the first team in rushing attempts. But that is the formula for them to win. And that's why they've improved defensively, because they're really good. They've improved tremendously. They're best team in yards allowed on defense, right? They're sixth in points allowed on defense. They're very good on defense because their offensive ability. The worst thing you want to be is the Cincinnati Bengals, which is you can't run the ball, and then you can't stop the run. Mm-hmm. And that's why the Bengals are like the 76ers. They look good on paper. They don't play good as a team.
And there we brought it right back.
Had a party
well
shot.
Done. Yep. Well done.
It's out there. You can't help but see it. You can see teams that do nothing about their mental toughness. It becomes a 7-on-7 game. The Bengals, that's who they are.
Mm. All right, Mike. We got to go. We will talk to you next Thursday at 4. Appreciate you.
Well, next Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we will not be talking.
We will not be talking.
The lottery. Are we going to tank for the kid from Duke? Let's do that.
Nah. Well, we're starting that.
Well, the problem is...
Capture the flag, Mike. There's no problem. We're going to go get him, all right?
Issue being, Mike, that because what they've done with the lottery odds, even if you have the worst record in the league, you only have a 14% chance of the number one pick.
We don't care about that.
I'd rather have a 14% chance than watch this pathetic product. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it.
What a ray of sunshine.
You can't even kid with him.
Nope.
Well, he reminds me of someone.
Yes.
Hey, man. That guy drafted me.
We have great respect for Mike.
Howard drafted you?
Yeah.
Yes, he drafted me.
Well, I can tell you the analytics didn't love you. I can tell you why you weren't. The one reason you weren't drafted is analytics.
I think Ike would have been an analytical darling.
Oh, yeah.
Ike playing in today's league?
Yes.
Well, in today's league,
He would turn his nose up at WIP.
You know what? I look at maybe we see the two-way player, a Van Summeren and a linebacker from this guy.
Well, no, I'm not doing fullback.
All right.
Let Richie, he can have that in Van Summeren.
So here's what we have. Jack, you tell me what we're doing. So we have every day this week, we have a pair of tickets to go see Linkin Park at the Wells Fargo Center August 16th, but you have to sing for them.
Yep.
We play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. The song ends, you have to sing the next line. But we also have John Heyman coming up as well.
So John Heyman's first.
Okay.
If he can sing it.
Nah.
We'll go Heyman first, and then immediately after Heyman, we'll play the Linkin Park.
Okay, so what I should do is, shouldn't call now, when I come back at 4:30, tell them to call then?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason we have Heyman on is because it seems like we were all throwing dirt on the Soto dream. It has reborn a little bit today.
Yes.
A little bit of hope. A glimmer of a tub of mayonnaise right here in the studio. Of Ike Reese spooning it into his mouth. Oh, yeah.
Why don't you say that any more sensual?
Yeah. Ike Reese.
Spooning into my mouth. Yeah, come on, man.
Spooning mayonnaise into his mouth. It sounds like a John Johnson bit.
That sounds disgusting already.
Yeah, yes, no, it really does. Yeah, yeah. We got sit-ins with us.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so Heyman next and Linkin Park tickets. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.